Well, hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us. It is so good to be with you. I always look forward to our times together. They are such a blessing for me as I prepare and as I go through it, sharing it with you. And I pray that it's a blessing for you, that it helps you in your walk and your relationship with the Lord, that it helps you to know Him better, to trust Him more, to be able to experience Him better. Want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to help make these times possible. I know I often say that, but I do that because you see me, but you don't see them behind the scenes. And I appreciate all that they do to help make this come about and for your benefit as we seek our Lord together. Well, as we meet here today, it's an absolutely beautiful day. The temperatures have warmed back up. But nevertheless, I still wanted to be on the back porch. I enjoyed out here just being able to be out with God's creation. And it just seems to be so fitting for us as we have our time together before the Lord. But you know, since He's given us this time and this place and these means to be together, it's only right that we begin by going to Him in prayer. And so let's seek Him together. Father, thank You so much for this day. Lord, the beauty of it and how it testifies, O God, of Your existence, of Your sovereign control, Lord, of Your perfection, and Father, as it speaks of the plan that You have for us and for the ages, Father, we thank You. Lord, thank You for Your word that You have inspired and preserved. Father, thank You for Your spirit that You have sent to give us the understanding and the interpretation. And Father, we just ask now, Lord, that You would clearly speak to us. Father, yes, help us to understand the verses that we're looking at. Help us to understand those in our mind. But Father, help us to understand them in our heart as well. Lord, help us, O God, to know You as a result of looking at these verses. Help us to know how You'd have it for us to live. Father, that we'll know Your guidance and Your closeness and Your nearness. Father, be with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope that you are having a good day, both in terms of your circumstances. I hope that you're not facing any major problems or any simmering problems that are have just been there for so long. Hope that you're not carrying burdens or worries, or facing needs, whether they are physical or emotional or financial. Hope that you're just having a wonderful time. I hope that, you know, as you are going through life right now, that you're experiencing God's blessings. But it may very well be as you go through your life right now that you're in a season where, quite frankly, you are facing difficulties. You do have needs. You are, in fact, weighted down and burdened. You feel very similarly to how David felt in Psalm 5 in verses 1 through 2, where he said, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God, for to You I pray." It's obvious that David is under a tremendous burden. He talks about his groaning. He talks about crying out to the Lord. David obviously is in a time of great need, a great burden. Maybe, again, that's exactly where you are. But yet, look at what David was inspired to write and pray and go through as we look at verse 3. "In the morning, O Lord, You will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to You and eagerly watch." You know, what confidence he has. He can pray. He knows God's going to answer. What an assurance. I love the picture there. I can visualize. I hope that you read with what Tozer referred to as a sanctified imagination, where you can picture, you know, what the scriptures say. But I can just imagine David getting up, David having his prayer time, and then as David went through his day watching to see how God was going to answer his prayer. You know, what confidence, what assurance. How can we pray that way? What would enable us to pray with that kind of confidence, where we can say, "In the morning, O Lord, You will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to You and eagerly watch." How can we pray with such confidence? Well, as we keep looking at this psalm, we find out that the answer to confident prayer is God Himself. It is the God to whom we pray. It is who God is and how God works and moves and operates. You think about what we see as we focus in on verses 4 through 7, and that's really going to be where we focus in our time together. You think about what David was inspired to write here and obviously pray. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house. At your holy temple, I will bow in reverence for you. You think about what it says there about God himself. Because again, the basis of all of our prayer is in fact in God. Every morning, my devotion time, an editor has taken some of A.W. Tozer's essays and taken bite-sized pieces of them as a start for a morning devotion. I always enjoy looking at those first just to get my mind working and my heart oriented toward God before I look at his word. And once again, I came across that passage where the essay, and it was spread over several days, where Tozer said, you know, the secret of faith is in the character of God himself. He says, you know, so many times preachers will try to encourage their congregation to memorize and to repeat and to stand on the promises of God, and that's great. But a promise is only as good as the character of the person who has made it. It's worth only as much as the character of the person who's made it. So as we talk about the promises of God, and they're absolutely wonderful, but what makes them wonderful is the fact that because of the character of God, they are true, they are real, they are trustworthy. And so as we think about being able to pray confidently, we have to look back at God himself. And what is it about God that would enable us to pray confidently, even when we groan, even when we, in fact, cry out for help? What would enable us to pray confidently? What is it about God? Well, as we look at just those three verses, and you could go for days on this topic, but just these four verses here, verses 4 through 7. Notice what we see. Number one, the righteousness of God. Again, you think about what we see there. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells in you. God is right. God is right within himself. God is right in what he does. God is right in his dealings with us. God is right in his desires, what he wants to do. God is right in his standards of what he allows. God is right in his handling of circumstances and situations. That's not to say we understand at any given moment in time. That's not to deny the fact that many times God's justice waits out because of his mercy. But we can always rest assured in the fact that God is right and he will do what is right. Look at verse 4. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells in you. God will judge all people, events, and circumstances by his righteousness. In every situation, God will do what is right. If the problem that you're facing is in fact been brought about by sin from some individual or group or whatever, in his time and in his way, you can have absolute assurance God's going to deal with it. We look at our national situation. And yes, I pray for revival, but we can rest assured that all the evil and wickedness that we see, all the what seems to be unchecked sin, God is going to hold it all accountable. God is, in fact, going to deal with it. You know, we can get up, we can pray with confidence, because we have a God who is, in fact, righteous. And we can trust him to do what is right. We can, in fact, I didn't think about it as a cross-reference until right now. But do you remember when Abraham was petitioning God about Lot, God revealed to him that he was going to go down and see how the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah were, and then his justice had to move. And do you remember what Abraham said as he spoke with the Lord? It's a rhetorical question, and the answer there is obvious. Abraham asked, will not the judge of the whole earth do what is right? And obviously the answer there is right. Abraham knew he could trust the righteousness of God. Yes, in dealing with the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, but also in his dealings with the Lot. He knew the righteousness of God. We have a God who is righteous. And so we can pray with confidence. We can pray with assurance. Like David, we can get up, pray, eagerly watch, because God is in fact righteous. But not only do we see the righteousness of God, we also see the work of God. Look at verses 5 and 6. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. Obviously, a continuation from what we just talked about. But the idea being here, the fact that God is involved, God is making it happen, God is in fact working. You and I have a God who is always at work. He's always at work in us. You think about what we read in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. From the time that you and I are born again, God is in fact working on us. Not only is he working on us, but he's also working for us. We've seen it before, but you think of Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What does that tell us? Is at this very moment, in every situation in our lives, God is at work. He is at work in our circumstances, in us, for us, and on our circumstances. Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love God, to those called according to his purpose. We need to understand prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance to move. God is not like, unfortunately, like we are sometimes, come home from work and, you know, there's some need or problem in the home that needs to be addressed and we're frankly just too tired to really get motivated to do anything about it. Or maybe we're too distracted still about things at work or some other situation and we're just really not in tune. God is not like that. We're not trying to get his attention because we always have it. God's not worn out from work because we have a God who's unlimited in his power. We don't have to try to motivate God after a long day of work to listen to our problem. God is always at work. And we can trust him. And we can rest in him. And we can pray accordingly. God is working this very moment. God is in fact going to continue to work. We're not trying to overcome his reluctance. Yes, we're seeking his will. Yes, we're seeking how he wants to work. And we're wanting to be in his will as he works. But our God is in fact working. He's righteous. He is working. But we also see the fact, the loving kindness of God. Once again, we come across that wonderful concept. Verse 7, you think about what it says. But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house. At your holy temple, I will bow in reverence for you. Once more, that word, loving kindness. God is so great and wonderful that the translators, as wonderful of a language as English is, and as much as can be expressed in it, God goes beyond it. And the translators had to come up with a word to try to express the thought. Here is God who is loving. In fact, that's one of his attributes, his characteristics. And remember, when we talk about an attribute or a characteristic of God, any one of them that we list out, whether it's his sovereignty or his omnipresence or, you know, in this sense, his love, every one of his attributes, while it's always in perfect balance with every other attribute, God has in an infinite proportion. He is infinitely loving. Yes, now it's always coupled with his mercy, with his grace, with his righteousness, his judgment, so on and so forth. Not taking away from that. But we cannot begin to fathom the love God has for his children. If we could just even get a glimpse of that, we would sleep so much better at night. We wouldn't get so easily ruffled when things are fast-paced or difficult or when problems arise. God is loving. But not only is he loving, but the second part of that is the fact that he is, in fact, kind. That means he's gentle, caring, tender, helpful. You can go to a dictionary and get a whole other list. Again, even than that word, trying to define the word kind is difficult. And you think about God being that, makes it even more impossible for us to grasp. But the loving, kindness of God. We can always go to Him in prayer, knowing that He will receive us and knowing that we can trust Him with everything. I'm not saying He'll always solve or move or work away in the way that we would like for Him to or would understand why He does it that way. But we need to understand that He's always, out of His loving kindness, listening to us, working for us, and eager to, in fact, work on our behalf. And when His ways are different than our ways, guess what? It's because we simply lack the ability, the wisdom, to understand His ways. Because remember, our wisdom is finite, but again, another attribute of God, His wisdom, is infinite. We can't understand that. We can't even understand the concept, much less the substance. But the loving kindness of God. What a wonderful God that we can come before, put everything out before Him, like Hezekiah with the threatening letter from the king of Assyria. We can come before Him, we can spread it all out before Him, and trust Him with it because of His loving kindness. You think about our God. He is righteous. He is working. You think about His loving kindness. No wonder David was able to say, "In the morning, O Lord, You will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to You and eagerly watch." That is what we can do. That is what you can do. Even with the circumstances that you face today, no matter how complex, no matter how close to the heart they may be, we can go before Him, lay it before Him, and then watch and see what He does. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for, O God, being the God that You are. Lord, You are a righteous God. Lord, You will only allow evil to go as far, O God, as Your perfect plan allows it to, O God. Even as we look at this, our nation, our world, O God, Lord, You are righteous in all that You do and in Your every standard of Your measurement and action is by Your righteousness. Father, You are a God who's at work. We don't have to twist Your arm to get You to work, try to manipulate You. O God, You're always at work. Father, we thank You for how You're working right now, even though we might not even see it or comprehend it. And Father, thank You for Your loving kindness. O God, You are such a good and wonderful God. We thank You, we love You, we praise You, and oh God, we trust You. And Father, for those who are going through a very difficult time, like David, may they have that same assurance of David that they can get up, pray, and watch You work. Father, be with us through the day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I do hope that you have a good rest of the day for whatever point of the day you're watching this. Hope that you're able to pray and, like David, watch God work. And as a result of that, you will experience His blessing, His fullness, His peace, even before you see anything happen, that you'll be able to pray and eagerly watch.